This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, what you should know about after-hours emergency care for your pets and helpful tips on puppy nutrition. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I'm here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitters, with our pet tip of the week. And Monica, one of the things that I encountered with Olive when we were looking for an emergency, I had an emergency care number in my phone, which was not active. They were not active anymore. And I think this is happening all over the country. They're changing their hours, they're not open, they've moved to another location, or they're combined working with someone else. And some of these other clinics that are up, maybe they don't handle everything. They only handle broken limbs or something that doesn't require that you stay overnight. I just think it's really important, especially because what I experienced personally, I wasn't prepared for. So I want to make sure all our listeners are prepared and know the importance of, you may have something that you've been using for years. I hadn't gone to an emergency vet in 7 years. So when it happened, I just go, oh, I'll just go here. I've been going here for 20 years. They're not open anymore. So these are the things that I think that I'd like to share with our listeners so that if they're ever in a situation like that, that they're prepared before they even dial the number.
You are completely right. And the thing is that right now, many, many, many veterinarians, emergency clinics are really short-staffed. And what happens is that makes their operating hours become less. It makes the wait times go up. Unfortunately, that's kind of a situation nationwide right now. So just some tips to help with that. Also in regards to which one to go to or what other options you have. So if you find yourself in a situation to where it's a weekend, it's a holiday, perfect example right now, a lot of the veterinarians locally where I am close at 5 o'clock. Well, the emergency clinics who used to be open 24/7 all day, all night, are now not open till 7, 8, some of them 9. So if something happens as an emergency during those couple hours, you know, between when your vet closes and when they open, you know, oftentimes people are left scrambling. So number one, I always tell people, if there's any kind of pet emergency, call your vet first. Number one call. So many people are unaware that your veterinarian will oftentimes stay on call. Just because you called once and they referred you someplace else does not mean that the next time you need it, it will be the same situation. Depending on, you know, what veterinarian you use, different practices, what their schedules are, you know, and especially in some like single doctor practices, it's hard because one vet cannot be on call 24/7, but some have certain days of the week. Some, you know, go based on how many, you know, visits they have and they'll open it up. But definitely always check with your veterinarian first. Always make that call to your vet. Next is when you're in with your vet, talk to your veterinarian about what their procedures are for after-hour emergencies, for holiday emergencies, etc. They may have, you know, an emergency clinic that they work with a lot. They may know somebody like another doctor in town that they swap services with and do emergencies back and forth, you know, with. A lot of veterinarians will give out their own information for emergencies to for clients. It just depends on your vet what they do, but definitely have that conversation before the emergency arises. Because a lot of times you have care right there, right down the road, and people aren't always aware of it. And then you get yourself in a situation where you're frantically calling all the vet's offices in town, seeing if anybody is open and anybody can get you in. And then checking, you know, what emergency clinics are there? Are they open yet? Where are they? How far away are they? So definitely looking into those items before the emergency arrives, super important. Another good thing to know is if you have a issue, but your veterinarian is booked and can't just get you in for, you know, a little while, talking to them about what aid can I give my pet prior to my appointment? And, you know, we just recently talked about a lot of at-home things you could use for certain ailments. So that's another good thing to check. Additional resources that not everybody remembers, for example, if you are waiting to get into your vet, but they do not have open appointments, sometimes veterinarians offer telehealth appointments to where, you know, they can have, you know, a video call with you and kind of go through things just to get through until when they can get you in for a visit. Certain companies also offer telehealth. So for example, like Chewy.com, they have pet telehealth available right on their website. So it is only during certain hours. You know, it's usually, I think they're available 6 a.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time daily, every day of the week. So that includes weekends. So if it's something to where it wasn't a severe emergency, like your pet was hit by a car or a broken leg, something to where your pet maybe has an upset stomach or something that you don't want to wait until Monday, but could wait until the next morning, that can also be an option for you just to kind of get veterinary advice till you're able to get into your vet or, you know, your vet becomes available. If it is a toxin issue, if it's an emergency related to, oh my gosh, my pet got into something they weren't supposed to, as far as a toxic reaction, Pet Poison Helpline is open 24/7. And you can, as a client, you can call up, pay a fee, and have a veterinarian speak to you about how much did you get? Do I need to go to the emergency clinic right away? Is there anything at home I can give to help counteract the effect? So that is an option for some of our toxic cases, or even if they're not showing symptoms, but you're concerned because you know your pet got into something, that's a great resource to first before you have to go searching for an after hours emergency clinic. And also checking in with your emergency clinics locally just to see what their hours are and what options they have. And your local humane societies are another option as well, because if you can't get into your normal veterinarian and your emergency clinics are closed during the day, oftentimes some of our humane societies will have veterinarians available at their location. So knowing which days that they have vets available at their location is helpful as well. Because again, if you can't get into your vet and you need to get in somewhere right away, that may be a backup option. Another thing is, depending on what the emergency is, oftentimes having those little in-home remedies for some things just to keep your cup comfortable are really important. You know, like we talked about medications past episodes, but things for wound care. If you have a pet that gets something in their paw, you making sure you have tweezers, making sure you have a muzzle for your pet. And I know sometimes that's not even thought of, because you could have the nicest pet on the planet that would never nip or bite anybody. But if that pet is in a large amount of pain because they're hurt, sometimes being able to help them can cause them a little pain, and those dogs may react. So for your safety and the pet, having things like tweezers and wrap, they, you know, get injured, having some gauze that you can put a wrap that sticks to itself around it, hold it in place on a pet, on a leg, on a foot. Those areas that tend to oftentimes get injured, but are hard to kind of control the bleeding on, it's really good to have things like that at home and ready. And also betadine. The generic of betadine is called povidone iodine, but it can be found at any local health store, you know, or Walgreens or CVS or Walmart's, Targets, wherever. Most grocery stores have betadine. But that is great for antifungal, antibacterial. It's great on wounds. But you just mix it like half and half. So 50% of the betadine, 50% water, until it's like a dark tea color. Kind of apply that to the wound. So that way, getting clean, it's got some kind of antibacterial thing on there, covering it up, and at least having it where it's not getting worse until you can get into your vet. Those are all little things you can have at home just to be ready in case an emergency happens and you're delayed in getting in to your veterinarian.
This is great information. Having experienced it myself, you think that your emergency room that you've been using for years is open, the clinic's open. As we've talked about, they may be short on help. They may be short. They may be changing their hours. There's time they are open, they aren't open, or maybe there's another clinic that your vet works with. The clinic that they had been working with maybe not be open or available all hours after hours. So have your plan ready ahead of time. Talk to your vet, find out who their emergency room clinic is for after hours. If they are not doing it themselves, they may do it themselves. They may be available for calls. If they are not, have that information, put it in your phone. Unfortunately, what I went through was I called three places and they were all very close to my home. And one of them, I ended up saying, well, could you just please give me one that's open close where I am? Time is of the essence right now. And we did get another clinic that I didn't even know was around that we did go to. It was brand new. So you may have new ones opening. Like I said, some that you may have gone to over the years may not be there anymore, or they may have changed their hours and their availability. When it happens in the evening, when it happens on a weekend, which we all know that's when it happens, please have your plan in place, because it's very important that you're prepared and that you are up to date on what's going on, because there's a lot of moving parts right now with things that are open with human doctors and human clinics. It's also going on with our pet. I think if we all stay a step ahead of it, it could save heartbreak in the long run. So Monica, this is so perfect that you did this. This is wonderful information. And as always, I thank you.
Thank you.
We will be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning three-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, now you have a new puppy. What should they eat? We've got some ideas. Stay tuned.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent, I understand that some of my pups may be picky eaters due to many factors, including food sensitivities, especially with puppies. And with us today to help us navigate this challenge and share some great advice on how to pick the right puppy food for our fur kids is Kim Gablin, Chief Marketing Officer at Bill Jack Foods. Hey, Kim, welcome.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for having me on. I love talking about puppies.
I know. Now, when your puppy's a picky eater, it even compounds it a little more. How is it best to like help us navigate picking a good puppy food?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a few things that you're always going to want to look for in a puppy food. And so, first of all, you're going to want to want a food that is formulated for a growing puppy. You know, you only get to have your puppy grow up once. Right, that's a critical foundation for how they grow up, and so picking that food is very important. So you want to look for a growth food or a puppy food. There's normally something on the bag that's required of all pet foods to tell you what kind of dog it's for. If it's for maintenance, like for an adult dog, or if it's for growth, or if it's for all life stages, which means if you have multiple dogs in the household, maybe, you know, you have an adult and you have a puppy. If it's good for all life stages, then it's good for puppies and adults. So you're going to want to look for that particular kind of food. Certainly you're going to want to keep in mind how old is your dog, right? Is it under 1 year? Because puppy food typically is for puppies up to 1 year old when they're small and medium breeds. And then, you know, up to 18 months or 24 months, depending on if you have a large breed or a giant breed dog, right? It takes them longer to grow. So they're going to need those puppy nutrients over a longer period of time when you have a large breed. So understanding the size of your dog too, and you know, how about what size will they be when they are fully grown? So, you know, if they're going to be maybe 20 pounds or so or under, then typically we think about that as being a small breed puppy. If they're somewhere between 20 and 50 pounds, they're going to be a medium breed puppy. And then if they're over 50 pounds, then we would typically consider them a large breed puppy. So those are things to think about when you're first looking for a food. And then of course, you know, the number one thing you're going to be looking for is those ingredients. And so, you know, what is that ingredient panel starting out with? That number one ingredient is what is that in the food, the highest amount, the highest weight that goes into the food. So you're going to want to look for a protein first, a protein like chicken or beef or fish. That's the first thing that you're going to want to look for on that bag.
What if they're a picky eater? How do we kind of encourage them to finish that bowl of food?
You know, puppies, I love it too. Puppies are, you know how puppies are. They're so distracted. There's so many things going on in their lives. They want to play. They want to eat. They want to sleep. You know, they want to look for something new to chew on. So there's so much going on in their lives. So, you know, sometimes puppies may be distracted and people may feel like they don't like their food or they're not hungry or, you know, something like that. So, you know, so I think it's, you know, really important to have good, good practices for when you're feeding them. So you want to be consistent. You know, you want to have a special time that you're going to feed them at, and you're going to want to know that, okay, we feed them twice a day. If we're feeding them twice a day, you're going to feed them once in the morning around maybe 7 o'clock before everybody heads off to work and school. And then maybe again around 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night, once everybody's back and kind of settled in. And then that consistency can really help them know that, hey, you know, my tummy's grumbling. It's about time for me to be able to eat. And so it's been time for me to kind of be hungry. And that kind of helps them be consistent. And certainly, you know, measuring the food is very important. You don't want to overfeed them when they're growing. You know, I know you want them to grow and you want them to grow healthy, but growing healthy doesn't mean growing quickly. So you're going to want to, you know, make sure that you're looking at the feeding guidelines that are on the bag and that you're looking at the weight of your dog, the weight of your puppy, what age they are, and then how much the food that they should get based on that information, and then measuring that food and making sure that everybody, again, back in the family, like make sure the kids aren't feeding them, you know, an extra meal in between. You're going to want to make sure that you're getting them, you know, just the amount that they're supposed to have during that day, and then monitoring their body condition, right? Are they gaining weight? Are they, you know, are they having a nice average, you know, growth cycle? Are they growing consistently? So those are the things you're going to want to be looking for as you're feeding them. And, you know, occasionally you do have a picky puppy, you know, and it is funny. You know, again, those distractions can be a challenge, but sometimes, you know, they may not love the food that they have, right? So you may want to change. You may want to try something different. I know at Biljack, we've launched a new picky puppy formula, picky no more puppy formula, and it's for all breed sizes. And so it's a great option if you have a puppy that is maybe not as interested in their food. We have chicken liver in there, and that we just feel like that's the magic bullet.
You know how I feel about that.
To be able to, oh yeah, just very, you know, very Pavlovian, you know, very, you know, oh, that smells so good, you know, so that really kind of helps kick it up into, you know, kind of a little bit higher taste gear. And you know, some puppies need that, right, just to get them focused and interested in eating. And so that, you know, picking a more puppy formula might be a great option for you if you have a dog that is a little bit picky.
I mentioned sometimes that there are outside factors, including food sensitivities. What should pet parents understand if their pups do have a food sensitivity?
Yeah, you know, there's just, you know, so much information out there, and everybody really feels like, oh, you know, I think my dog has an allergy. I think they have a sensitivity. You know, how do you know that? What should you think about? So some of the things you should think about are, you know, are they having minimal stomach upset? Puppies get into everything. They do. and so, you know, when they do that, sometimes they might have a little bit of stomach upset. They might have a little bit of soft stool. So, but if you're seeing minimal stomach upset, if you're seeing small firm stools on that back end, which is always a good way to tell how their digestion is doing, those are really important things. If you're having a lot of itchy, it could be a food sensitivity. But you know, I always take a look at Banfield Pet Hospitals a couple of years ago took all the people that were coming into their veterinary offices and tracked how many dogs were affected by food allergies over the course of the year. And it was less than, you know, 0.2%.
Wow.
Had actual food allergies. You know, a lot of times there's other things, could be carpeting, it could be other things in the environment, could be fleas, could be a lot of things that could actually look like a food sensitivity that might be something else. So, you know, if you do have a dog that is sensitive, you've tried to, you know, look at, you know, if they're having softer stools, if they're having some stomach upset, you know, you might want to look for a food that is good for puppies that is also good for sensitive dogs. So, for example, at Biljack, we have sensitive solutions, sensitive skin and stomach support formula. So that's a really great option. It's one of those foods that's good for all life stages. So that means, like we talked about earlier, it covers puppies and it covers your adult dogs in the household. And so it uses chicken and whitefish. That's what we use. We make it with chicken and whitefish. And that's really a gentle protein blend. And then we also use a fiber blend and probiotics, and that helps with healthy digestion, you know, kind of keeping that gut healthy and happy, so that they do have those nice small firm stools that you want them to have, right, and that less stomach upset and that kind of thing. Yeah, definitely. Well, especially, you know, they're so little, you know, you're just trying to figure it all out, and, you know, and not every food might work for every puppy. So, I mean, it's important to kind of pay attention to what signs you're seeing that your puppy might not be doing well on the food that they're on. But it's important not to keep changing, you know, because that also, you know, can create a bit of a picky situation as well, right? That could make your dog, you know, wait until you give them the food that they want to have. And so that can be troublesome. So you're going to want to make sure that you're consistent, and you're consistently going to try with a food before you're changing off to try another food.
Yeah. And also when you change, you kind of have to like combine the foods because their little tummies are so, you get very confused, and you don't want to have unsolid stools.
Yeah. Well, you know, certainly when you're right, transitioning a food from one food to another can upset, especially if you have a sensitive dog.
Yeah.
A sensitive dog can really be upset by that, right? So, you know, a lot of times with Filjack, because of the probiotics, because it's easy to digest, and we're really focused on that as a food and as a critical part of what we do, you know, a lot of times you can switch to us without a lot of issues, but anytime you have a sensitive dog, you should always be mixing in a little bit of the old food, you know, mostly old food, then a little bit of new food, and kind of transition over at least over a few days when you have a very sensitive dog, because otherwise you're going to have, like you said, a little more mess again than you were expecting.
So we don't want that.
We want to make sure that if you have a sensitive dog, yeah, take that time to do that.
But Bill Jack, you have such a large, like a selection, and to help like guide the pet parent along as to what they need. What kind of makes Bill Jack dog food a great solution for pet parents?
Well, you know, I think it's a couple of things, Sue. And, you know, it's really that we start with fresh chicken, and that fresh chicken really has a lot of, you know, biological, you know, potential, right? So that fresh chicken is really, really has the protein that dogs need. And so we're able to cook it gently and help protect as much of it as we can. You know, obviously whenever you cook something, there is some, you know, degradation in that protein, but we try to cook it at a gentle temperature for a longer period of time, and as opposed to at high temperatures where how a lot of foods are made. And that really makes a big difference. So we're using all that fresh chicken that brings fresh fat into it. We don't spray any fat on at the end of our food making, where almost every, you know, dry food does. So, you know, having that fresh protein come in, that fresh fat come in to start with, is really important, that we think, to be able to have a healthy animal and get that healthy protein. That fresh chicken really tastes good when it's cooked well. And so that really, really helps, because, you know, again, if you can have the best, most nutritious dog food, but if it's not, you know, if it's not tasty and your dog or your puppy is not going to eat it, that can really be a challenge. And, you know, we understand that, you know, not all dogs are the same and that there are a lot of differences, right? So that's why we have a lot of different formulas that we offer. Like, you know, like we were talking about the Tiki No More puppy food, which is new for us. Certainly we have the sensitive diets, but, you know, we also have adult diets. We have, we have mature diets for senior dogs. So, you know, so we want to be able to tailor that nutrition to the life stage and lifestyle of your dog.
The treats, they're my lure. They've had treats that benefit skin, benefit digestion, the smart treats. Can you just tell us a little bit about, and of course, and then you have all the yummy ones that...
Oh yeah. Okay. You know, training is so important, and certainly for puppies, that is really critical. You know, being able to get your dog trained, know what to expect from you, and to really create that bond and that relationship is really important. And so, you know, treats can be very helpful in that. And so we have, you know, small treats like our little Jacks that are, you know, about 3 calories each. They're great for training. They're small. You could break them in half, you know, while you're, you know, having multiple sits and multiple training sessions. It's really easy to do. And we have a lot of, you know, different kinds. You know, we have some fun flavors like Yapple Bananas and PB Bananas. So, you know, a peanut butter and banana flavored treats. We also have, like you said, our Smart Jacks. So those are great for, we have a digestion Smart Jacks for digestive support. And we also have one for skin and coat support. So, you know, if you're looking for a little extra something to be able to give your dog, to be able to help support some of the things that are important to you, you can certainly do that. And we have our Slim Jacks treats, which are a low-fat, soft treat. And so if you are, you know, watching your dog's weight or, you know, trying to make sure that you're, you know, watching the fat that you're giving them, then certainly that's a really great option. So, you know, we want them to be fun and tasty. You know, they're made with chicken liver. They're just, dogs love them, and they're just so tasty. So it's really fun to hear all of the comments we get back from all of our pet parents about how they love the treats and what their dogs will do to be able to get their Bojack treat.
When I have all the three of them in the car, if I want their attention, all I have to do is I carry it in my purse, and all I have to do is open up the bag and they can smell it. Something good's gonna happen. I can smell it and they know. Yeah, so it's like that's my greatest lure, and like little I can get all their attention very quickly with it. So I am a total fan of that, as are my kids. Now, where can the listeners to go to learn more about Biljack, where they can get it, and all of the things? You have a great pet blog, you have of course you have my favorite newsletter. So
yeah, you know, the best place to start off is out at our website at biljack.com. It's biljack.com, and we have lots of information out there. So if you're just if you're a new puppy parent, we have a web puppy club out there. Mm-hmm. So go out there, look for the puppy club under the pet parents tab. And so you can join that, and we can send you some coupons. We can send you some monthly emails that will help you with maybe some of the challenges you might be having at that particular stage of life. And so that can be very helpful. We also have the Best Friends Club newsletter, which we send out monthly. So any kind of dog, any age dog that you have, you can certainly join our Best Friends Club. And we send out lots of articles, you know, just about like we're talking about today, about, you know, how to pick a puppy food, or if your dog is sensitive, what to do. And so lots of great information, and also just some, you know, fun things like, you know, about mental health and your dog. So lots of things that you can learn about your dog and taking care of your dog and having a great relationship with your dog. And we're, of course, also out on social media, on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram. So there's some great places to meet up with us and share, you know, your story and kind of what your dog is up to. And if we can answer any questions, we're also happy to do that too.
As always, thank you for being our guest and for sharing healthy and helpful advice on how to find the right food when our pups are picky, and for sharing the Biljack's food, Picky No More Puppy Food. I think everyone's going to like it. And their pups.
Thank you. So we're excited. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.